Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts here, Dana Osban, here with my friend Chavruta and Gordon. Our daf today, Masecha Bava Metzia, Baf Mem Zion, page 47. I wanted to share a part of the Gemara here that talks about something that we call Kinyan Sudar, which means making an acquisition using a kerchief. This actually is done today. And we're going to see the daf. I'm going to read one part of this. The daf talks about this in a couple of places. And let's just start with where it is at Amud Amla. Bamet Konin. So how does somebody acquire using a Kinyan Sudar, right? Whose kerchief do you use to make this? Now, the source of you doing a Kinyan Sudar is very interesting. It's actually from Megillat Rut, chapter 4, verse 7, which talks about where a man would take off his shoe and give it to somebody else. But what's unclear in that pasuk is, whose shoe is being given to who? Is it the person acquiring the item gives his shoe to the person who he's going to get the item from? Or does the person who's giving the item to the other person give his shoe to the person acquiring the item? So that's the source of it. Rav Amar Bikelyo Shel Kones. So Rav says that it's performed with the utensil of the one acquiring the item. So in other words, the person who's acquiring the item would take his kerchief, all right, or his whatever item he's going to use, and he gives it to the owner. So therefore, a Kinyan Sudar is an exchange of items, right? Reuven, let's say it's Reuven and Shimon. Okay, Reuven gives his kerchief to Shimon, and then Shimon, its item becomes the property of Reuven. So that's Rav's opinion. Because it's in the interest of the one acquiring that the one transferring it should acquire the you know, whatever they're using for the Kinyan Sudar, the utensil. So that in turn, he should resolve to transfer it to him, right? In other words, once he's given, Reuven is trying to acquire something from Shimon. So Reuven, gives his item over to Shimon, and then Shimon's going to give the item that Reuven actually wants to acquire over to Reuven. The Levi Amar, and Levi says, and it's interesting, we've seen a lot of machloka between Rav and Levi, so they obviously have a very different way of looking at many of the ideas presented in this Masechet. Amar, Bikelyo Shel Makna, right? Levi says, the Kinyan Sudar is performed with the utensil of the one transferring the item, kidvainan lememar lakaman, as we will explain below. Okay, so they're going to explain. Amar le Rav Huna, mistakta le Rava. So Rav Huna of Discarta said to Rava, ulelevi de amar bekelav shel makna. But according to Levi, he says the Kinyan Sudar is done with the kli of the one transferring the item. Haka kani arya agav gilima. Right, the person is actually acquiring land by the acquisition of the garment, right? So in other words, what he's saying is that Levi uses the Kinyan Sudar as sort of a what we would call a Kinyan Agav, right? So two items are being offered together to acquire, but you just acquire them through the Kinyan of one of them. So in other words, Reuven wants to acquire something from Shimon. So Shimon, right, there's two items. It's Shimon's kli, whatever he's going to use, a kerchief, whatever it is, and the item that Shimon actually wants to give to, that is actually going to be given to Reuven for a kinyan. So by Shimon giving that kinyan sudar over to Reuven, by making Reuven making a kinyan over that item, he then makes a kinyan over both items. And that's basically, so if you did this for land, for example, right, because land is not something that you can, you can't actually transfer it that way, can't actually pick it up or something like that. So if you do it through a Kinyan Sudar, then it would basically be that Reuven, right, who's the recipient, gets Shimon's land by taking Shimon's item, okay? And that's how he would basically do this. Im kein havale nechasim sheyesh lahem achrayut v'nikanim, so the Gemara goes on to say, if this is a case of real property that is being acquired together with movable property. And didn't we learn the opposite in the Mishnah? Nechasin she'ein lahem achrayut nikanim im nechnasin she'yesh lahem achrayut. Movable property may be acquired together with real property, right, by using a money or a document or some type of proprietary act in the real property. So in other words, the idea here is that the Mishnah is basically, it's a Mishnah in Kedushin, teaches that if somebody's acquiring somebody else's land and movables, the way you do a kinyan is on the land, you can transfer both the land and the movable, even though the kinyan isn't really appropriate for the movable items. So what this means is, because the Mishnah points it out, it means the reverse is not true. A good kinyan for movable can't affect the transfer of land. So then how can Levi say that you can use a kinyan, right, on the donor's, you know, kli, right, whatever it is, because that's a movable, to affect transfer of the donor's land? So the Gemara says, Amar Le, Rava says to him, I have Levi hacha. If Levi were here, have a mafik la'apech peluse denura, he would have shot you sparks of fire, right? So in other words, he would have been very upset for you for thinking that he made a mistake. Mis savarta glima makna le. Do you think that according to Levi, right, that the recipient, who we're using as Reuven here, kinyan of the garment, is conveying to him possession of the land, right, as it would with a case of agav? No, rather what's happening is, bahahi hana deka mekabel mine, right? It's an exchange for that pleasure, right? In other words, the donor derives from the fact that the recipient accepts the gift of this garment for him, gamar v'akne le. The donor resolves to grant him ownership of the land, right? So very carefully, this is what it's saying. The donor, by giving something to the recipient, okay, gets a certain type of enjoyment from that. And therefore, the donor then says, okay, I'm now going to give him land. So really, the basis of the kinyan here is just, it's just an expression that the donor, right, is going to give this land over to the recipient. So the kinyan sudar works, it's exchange, it's by an exchange, basically. So by giving this kli or this kerchief, whatever it is, right, to the recipient, is a way of letting the donor sort of the donors, you know, showing the donors enjoyment or acceptance or happiness, right, to give this to the recipient. And in exchange of that, that's the way that the donor basically shows, you know, that this item now belongs to the recipient. Okay, so it's really, and it's an exchange. It's not an actual, it's not a way of doing a kinyan. Now, the Gemara goes on to say that actually this machloka between Rav and Levi is actually a machloka of the Tanayim. All right, we'll just read this quickly. Kitnai, right? As it says in a brisa, Vizot lefanim b'Yisrael al ha-geulav al ha-tmura l'kayim kol davar shalaf ishna lo v'natan le-reyehu. Okay, so here they're quoting this pasuk in Ruth that I mentioned before, chapter 4, verse 7, that says, now this was formerly the practice in Israel concerning redemption and substitution. To confirm anything, a man would draw off his shoe and give it to his fellow. Mechira zo geula, the term redemption here actually means selling, right? So the sell of an item can be done without the item or money. It can simply be done by these two parties doing this kinyan sudar, okay? V'chein hu omer lo yigael, right? And so it states, it shall not be redeemed. Meaning, right, so here we're talking, here they're actually quoting a pasuk from Vayikra, chapter 27, verse 33, which is talking about maser behema, right? Every 10th animal you would have to give, would have to be separated, and it shouldn't be redeemed means that it can't be sold. So what we see is that this pasuk is basically telling us that the word gael can actually mean to be sold. That's how they're proving that redemption can mean sold here. Tumura zo chalifin, the word substitution refers to chalifin that we talked about before, right? Where somebody gives his shoe or another kli in exchange for somebody else's item. So that's what chalifin is. V'chein hu amer lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oto. So here they quote another pasuk from Vayikra, chapter 27, verse 10, which is talking about animals that are consecrated as offerings, and they can't be replaced by other animals. So here they have the word substitute, which can also mean exchange. So that's how they know the word tamura in this pasuk in root means in exchange. L'kayim kol davar shalav ishna lo v'natan l'reyehu, right? So they're continuing with understanding the pasuk in root that says, to confirm anything, a man would draw off his shoe and give it to his fellow. Mi natan l'mi. So who gave a shoe to who? Boaz natan l'goel. Did it mean Boaz gave a shoe to the Redeemer? Rabbi Yehuda omer. Rabbi Yehuda says it means goel natan l'boaz. No, it actually means the Redeemer gave it to Boaz. So here, what they're talking about is, right, in root was that, remember, the closest relative to Elimelech, Machlon, and Kilion, they all died, right? And somebody had to redeem their land, right? It was actually about purchasing their land from Naomi and Ruth, who needed to sell the land, okay? The Goel refused to actually redeem the land. Boaz was the next relative in line, so he had to get the right to redeem the land by doing this kinyan of taking the shoe. And so basically there's a machlokas here of the Tana Kama versus Rabbi Yehuda about who actually gives the shoe. So the Tana Kama basically holds the view of Rav, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds the view of Levi. So it's interesting to see that this concept of Kinyan Sudar, right, has a biblical source to it, that we see it from Megillat Rut, which I think is also very interesting. And Amud Bet, there's going to be a little bit more discussion about the Kinyan Sudar. And again, it's what the Kinyan Sudar is, it's called, it's the Sudar is a handkerchief. So this is like a handkerchief transaction. And it's basically, it's a symbolic way in which one party gives somebody else an object, right, which could be a kerchief in exchange for the object that actually is the, which is actually the transaction. And that's basically what a Kinyan Sudar is. So it's, you know, so this is just a halachic concept that you'll see. I think it was important to talk about. And this section here actually talks about the source for it as well. And we see it's not only is it a machloket of the Amoraim of Rav and Levi, but even a machloket of the Tanaim based on this brisa.
Kinyan Sudar makes sense to me. I think there's something about the abstract nature of you're not actually exchanging anything except for that everybody is in agreement that this exchange is going to take place, that it works, that is very pleasing to me. Okay, I want to pick up really shortly after where you were reading, Ardina, still on Amar Aleph. It says, Tana, Konin Bekli, right? The issue is, what happens if you don't have actual money, right? So the case is where you have an exchange where you can use your Kli, your vessel, whatever, Af Al Pi She'ein Bo Sheva Pruta, even if this vessel is fundamentally worthless. It doesn't even come to the equivalent of a pruta, which is kind of like the smallest amount of money that is thought to count for anything, right? Am Rav Nachman lo shano ela bekli aval bepeire lo. So Rav Nachman says, yeah, you could use that kind of symbolic exchange. You could do that if you have a vessel, you know, a trade, so to speak, but not if you're using payroll, not if you're using produce, but the implication here is anything other than a kli, right? There has to be some kind of, I guess, some kind of use to the item. Rav Sheshan, although I guess you could argue then, right, that any payroll that you have has some use. So it's not just about having use. We're going to have to understand a little bit further why. Rav Sheshan Amar, a filo bepeirot. Rav Sheshan said, no, even you could do this kind of exchange and, you know, acquisition, acquire something by means of that trade, even using produce. My time is Rav Nachman, so then why did Rav Nachman say no? Amakra na'al lo. Na'al in midiachrina lo. So this goes back to that verse, right, in Ruth, in the Megillah of Ruth, right, where it says his shoe. What does it mean, his shoe? It's shoe and anything like a shoe. What does it mean, like a shoe? Something that is, you know, like a vessel, something that is usable in this kind of way, where there's going to be some kind of symbolic exchange that takes place. And so it has to have some, I don't know, some identity as its own object and something like a vessel. Now, why, you know, why a vessel like a, I don't know, a mug, let's say, why is a mug going to be like a shoe? This is a good question to delve into further. But the real question here that the Gemara is going to be bothered by is, of course, what about Rav Sheshet? Why does Rav Sheshet disagree with Rav Nachman? My time under Rav Sheshet, Amar Kra Lekayem Kol Davar. Because when you go back to that verse in Ruth, it says, L'kayim kol davar, to uphold or to confirm all these things, right? Meaning, even if it's not a vessel, anything should be able to affect that exchange. L'Rav Nachman nami haktiv l'kayim kol davar, but Rav Nachman also knows this verse, right? What does he do with those words? Hahu l'kayim kol davar deniknin b'min al. So according to Rav Nachman, then we're going to understand that the confirmation of all things is specifically those things that could be acquired by the exchange of the shoe. Hahu l'kayim kol davar deniknin b'min al. Rav Shesha nami k'tiv na'alo. And what about Rav Shesha? What is he going to do with the word shoe? Meaning he also should explain why it isn't limited in the same way that Rav Nachman wants to limit the power of this exchange. Amar lach Rav Sheshet, ma na'alo davar ha-mesuyam, af kol davar ha-mesuyam, la puke chatzi rimon v'chatzi goes dolo. So Rav Sheshet says, well, yeah, so the shoe is a complete item, right? Like it's there in its entirety. And so any complete item is going to work, whether it's a kli, that's a complete item, or fruit, that's a complete item, but not, and he comes to exclude, half a pomegranate or half a nut, because they're half, right, then that's not considered a whole thing in the way that he wants to conceptualize the shoe as a whole item. Meaning, any way you want to look at, once you start, like, kind of finding the common denominator between the shoe and the kli, or the shoe and the fruit, right, there's a lot of ways that the sages could have come to draw these comparisons. I'm Rav Sheshit Bereid Rav Idi, keman ketvinan ha'idana, b'mana dikshar l'mekanya bay. So Rav Sheshit, the son of Rav Idi, says that we're talking about in accord with, when we're talking about transaction that has taken place with a vessel, right? Who are we writing like today? When we're talking about transactions that took place via the means of a vessel, that is suitable to acquire other things with. Meaning, you're coming with your vessel to trade for things. Now, whose opinion is that we're going to deal with? So, the Gemara is explaining, then, that when it's talking about kli, le'apuki mid Rav Sheshet, that's literally coming to exclude the opinion of Rav Sheshet that says it doesn't have to be kli. The term kli means focus on the Rav Nachman opinion. Because Rav Sheshet said you could acquire through other kinds of symbolic exchange, even with produce. So then that would mean that everything is going to be fit, except for to exclude the opinion of Shmuel. What did Shmuel say? That you acquire your item, now I'm turning on Talmud Bet, b'maroka, right? You can use date pits, meaning you could use anything. You can use something that has a purpose, that is functional, and date pits apparently were used for cleaning or smoothing out parchment, right? Meaning not just the debris of the date that you ate. So once it's got a function, then theoretically you can use it for your power of exchange to buy other things, when you, even though it doesn't even have the value of a pruta, that very minimal value. L'makanya l'fuke mid-Levi. So then we're going to say, well, that's going to exclude the opinion of Levi. What did Levi say? D'amar b'kelam shel makna. Levi says that same kind of exchange is only going to work if you're talking about the vessels that you're transferring, that the vessels belong to the person who is transferring the ownership of them. Right? Meaning you have to have that ability to be able to transfer the ownership. But kilav shel makna, kamashma lemakanya, lemiknaya, velo leknuye. Right? Meaning the idea being that it's given, you're using it to acquire, but not simply to transfer the ownership to another person, kind of by virtue of the person who owns the original item. It says, Bei Rav Papa Amar lemiyute matbeya. Rav Zvid v'itim Rav Ashi Amar lemiyute isurei hana'a. So then, once you're talking about with it, it says Bei, right? In this item. So Rav Papa says you're going to exclude coins. You can't have a symbolic exchange with a coin to begin with. That's money. And Rav Zvid, or maybe it was Rav Ashi, right? There's a difference of opinion here of who was the speaker in this case. Is it comes to exclude things which themselves are prohibited from benefit, right? You can't use something that is prohibited from benefit. I'm thinking like, oh, I don't know, chametz on Pesach, right? Like, you can't use that as a means of purchasing something, because that purchase would then count as hana'a, would count as benefit. Now we've got another version of this same dispute, bay, on this term, with it, right? Amar Rav Papa limiute matbea. So likewise, you know, it still says Rav Papa would exclude the coin because that doesn't bring about some kind of symbolic exchange. That's actually money. Dikshar Amar Rav Zvid ve'item Rav Ashi limiute isurei hana'a. So maybe it was Rav Zvid, or some say some Rav Ashi says comes to exclude items from the deriving benefits prohibited. Aval morika lo itstrich, and then the cap here, right, in the Ikid de Amrei, and this other version of the same text, which really reads very, very similarly. So to say that we've got this, we don't need to have a verse to exclude those morika, those date pits, right? Because they're so insignificant that you don't even have to worry about them as a possible construct that from which you could, you know, acquire something else, or you could make that kind of trade. According to this view, right? The earlier view said, no, you could even use that. You could use something that one person considers garbage, but once you're using it, I'm speculating when I say, well, one person sees as garbage and another person sees as usable, but the point is that there's a use for it, and in fact, it was usable. Now, there's a machloket, of course, over what morika, what it really is. You know, if it's date pits, that's one thing. Rashi says that it's cattle dung, and that makes it a kind of a different kind of proposition to say, well, why would you be using that? Because it's repulsive and it's dirty, and it's a kind of thing that can't be used with hot water, because can you just imagine, right? Like, meaning it's a different kind of thing than something functional to clean your parchment. But Rabbeinu Chananel and the Balei Tosfot disagree with Rashi, and that's where they say, no, this is a date pit, and it's used for cleaning parchment. The question, of course, is, you know, these are very dramatically different interpretations, and where do they each get it from? And that is, of course, a study for a different day.
That's our DAF discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this DAF on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.